This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the packet8.net toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. In here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free, so enjoy. freetalklive.com. Let's go to another website, Mark. MySpace. You've heard of them. They're one of the biggest, most popular websites in the entire world. No, really. I think they're in the top five.
I bet they are.
There's something like 100 million users at this point, or some absurdly large number. And I don't know, does the site, I don't spend as much time on MySpace these days just because I'm so busy doing other things. But does the site have as many bugs as it used to have? Is it still as bad as it was?
It's not as buggy as it used to be, but it is still cumbersome. It's just an awful site. It's mostly unnavigable.
It's kind of a messy, not very user-friendly site.
Sometimes things come back as errors when, you know, they just get errors all the time on it.
Big, and it is popular, and that's why Free Talk Live...
It doesn't seem to matter.
And we do have a presence there. You can go to Free Talk Live's MySpace profile at myspace.freetalklive.com. That's myspace.freetalklive.com. We don't promote it very often, but we've got something like 13,000 friends, and that's a big deal, I guess. So it's a new... there are actually a number of listeners that have found the show through the MySpace profile, so it's effective.
Yeah,
it really
working.
Does work, which is why so many people use the site. Of course, since so many people use the site, it's inevitable that it's going to attract an undesirable element.
Sure.
And in this case, we're talking about perverts.
Yep.
Right? What's going on, Mark?
From the AP, MySpace building a tool to block sex offenders.
Hmm.
The popular online hangout, MySpace, said Tuesday it will develop technologies to prevent and to help block convicted sex offenders, the site's latest attempt to address complaints about sexual predators and other dangers to teens. Because it's, you know, a lot of young people use it. It's they try to keep the, people from under 18 or under 16 from fully and actively participating. I don't know exactly how that works. But
I think you can have a profile if you're 14 on MySpace.
I think you can have a profile, but not everybody can see it until you're 16, but you
something
just lie
like that,
about your age if you feel like it. So it's, you know, I think that it's going to be a pretty similar... How are they going to stop... sex offenders.
They're not.
Really.
Let's find out what their plan is, though. I think this is really just a plan to get some publicity and to allay the fears of some overly worried parents.
Yeah, some dumb people. MySpace is partnering with Sentinel Tech Holding Corp to build and deploy within 30 days a database that will contain the names and physical descriptions of convicted sex offenders in the United States.
Now, I believe it. I mean, I believe 30 days, they could probably have it done.
Yeah.
It's not the government, is why.
An automated
system. 3 years.
Right. An automated system will search for matches between the database and MySpace user profiles. Employees will then delete any profiles that match. Parents, school administrators, and law enforcement authorities.
Wait. What are they searching for? Just the name
the
of the person?
Well, it will also contain their physical descriptions, but yes.
Oh, I see. So here's a hint for anybody who's a wanted sex offender on MySpace. Don't put your real name in. Okay, you've defeated their checks.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, this is MySpace we're talking about.
Right.
They've got a crappy website. They're going to have a crappy security system.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, school administrators, and law enforcement authorities have grown increasingly worried that teens are at risk on MySpace and other social networking sites, which provide tools for messaging, sharing photos, and creating personal pages. Well, I guess the question then, this begs the question, Ian, how are they going to keep teens safe on the internet? How can the police come up with a system to keep teens safe?
The police or MySpace?
Anybody.
You can't.
You're right. It's ridiculous.
It's nothing more than a cure-all, a panacea.
If parents want to protect their kids...
Snake oil.
If parents want to protect their kids on the internet, don't let their kids on the internet without being supervised.
That's precisely the answer.
You want your kid to be protected? It's a great way. Buy him a little laptop, let him sit in the kitchen while you're making dinner.
Or better yet... because it's ludicrous to believe that your teenager is going... Because that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about teenagers. We're not talking about kids. We're not talking about 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds getting on MySpace. Though, who knows, that might happen too. But we're talking about primarily kids 13 to 17 who are parents are concerned are going to get all into a conversation with some pervert. He's going to lure them out to his house and... have sex with them, or worse, maybe rape them, or do something violent or scary. And that's an understandable fear in a parent's mind. I get it. But I think that the solution to just brush it off and to say, well, you should just monitor your kids at all times. Well, you and I both know, Mark, that when teenagers are told they can't do something or that they're going to be monitored on the computer, they're going to look for alternative ways to use the computer, use the internet, maybe go over to Johnny's house and do it there, or go to the library, or go somewhere else where they can get access to the internet without your knowledge or approval. So I think that that's useful to an extent, but I think it's more useful to just educate your kids about how to be smart when it comes to dealing with people online. A, you don't go to somebody's house that you've never met before. Hey, you know, this is common sense, you would think, but we're dealing with teenagers who don't have any common sense.
Right. No guarantee that the teenager that you're talking to online is in fact a teenager.
So you got to, parents need to learn about online meetings. They need to learn about what the appropriate way to meet somebody new is. As though, for instance, just imagine, even though I know you don't want your teenagers to date people and meet people online, but there's a chance they might. So you have to accept the reality that they might. So understand the parameters that surround a safe online meeting. For instance, if you want to meet somebody, and it doesn't matter if you're a teenager or if you're 27 or if you're 50 and you're doing online dating, these rules apply. If you're going to meet somebody, meet them in a public place with other people around, like the food court at the mall. Or
always a great place.
Taco Bell. Or, you know, something where there are other people around to where you're not going to be able to just be grabbed, thrown in the back of a trunk, and driven to some desolate location and murdered. You know, just that's a sensible idea that's going to help keep people safe. That way you can sit down with that other individual, have a conversation as you're expecting to do, and maybe get to know them a little bit better. And maybe feel out their intentions. Of course, again, if we're dealing with a teenager and a 27-year-old man or something like that, they may not be able to feel out his intentions. But then again, if it was someone who was posing, for instance, as a younger person.
Right. Somebody who's lying about who they are.
Right. They would find out. And that happens a lot online. People lie all the time about not only how old they are, but how they look and all these other factors. You're going to find that you're going
anything
to
anything that their age, anything that they might in any way be think is going to, other people are going to think badly about
them. Off, yeah. So you're going to get rid of the liars right away by asking for a public meeting place. You're going to get rid of the dangerous people right away by asking for a public meeting place, unless you're really talking about somebody
who's
long-term
dedicated.
Online,
another way talking to someone online is the validated photo that we use for our Shrine of Female Listeners.
Well, you could still get a validated photo. That doesn't mean the person isn't dangerous.
No, that's absolutely true.
Right.
So, I'm just saying that would, you know, that would allay the, are they who they say they are.
Right. So just go through a couple of standard kind of dating tips, online dating tips with your teens so they understand what is and what is not appropriate. And if you have an open kind of relationship with your teenager as far as you talk about these things, instead of being the kind of parent that just says, no, you cannot go on MySpace. Look, your kids want to go on MySpace because that's where all their friends are. They're going to go. So don't just be this just-say-no parent. Be a parent, in my opinion, that will understand the desires of teenagers in today's age, that they want to participate in these online networking forums, and to participate in it with them, you know, to an extent where they aren't embarrassed about you being nearby, or they aren't embarrassed about you maybe seeing their profile. If, for instance, if you've got a teenager and you're this kind of crackdown-style parent, no drinking, no drug use, no sex, you know, one of these kinds of parents, your kid is not going to want to tell you about the photos he or she is posting on MySpace. Whereas if you have a more friendly kind of open relationship with your parents, it wouldn't be a big deal. If you're not afraid that your parents might see a picture of your buddies partying at the high school party last weekend, then maybe it wouldn't be you wouldn't be as reticent to show them your MySpace profile or to share with them a message that you've gotten from some weird guy on MySpace. Do you see what I mean, Mark? Am I making any sense here?
It seems like it to me. I was raised by the, you know, no drinking, right. No drugs, no sex, no nothing, and I was hell on wheels.
Yep.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like the right way to raise a kid is to, you know, be open to conversation.
Conversation can go a long way, I think. 800-259-9231, your thoughts. If you're a MySpace user and you've got any tips on how to stay safe, because you can't count on MySpace's technology to keep you safe. And there's another reason for that coming up. It's Free Talk Live. How much are you paying for your residential long-distance phone service? Well, it's too much. Packet 8 is offering local and long-distance VoIP phone service for as low as $20 a month. You can call anywhere in the United States and Canada for as little as $20 a month. With Packet 8's soft talk service, you can turn your computer into a video phone. Packet 8 also offers virtual office services for small businesses. Get started and get saving with Packet 8. Go to packet8.net or call 1-866-TRY-VOIP. That's packet8.net or 1-866-TRY-VOIP.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month. And you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
With energy costs on the rise and cooler weather around the corner, isn't it time to replace your home's windows? Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt-in easy for cleaning, and they also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and ask about our special financing terms. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 12/30/06, subject to applicant credit worthiness. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now. 1-800-393-8378. Ask about our special financing terms. That's 1-800-393-8378.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free. 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That is the Packet 8. Toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Archives are there, so if you've missed a moment of the show, we've got it for you, front page of the website. You don't have to log in. There's no membership fee. You just go download it for free, freetalklive.com, so enjoy. And don't forget to get registered now for the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, February 23rd through the 25th. Meet libertarian superstars like John Stossel, Michael Badnarik, and many more. The most influential libertarians in America will be there. freestateproject.org/libertyforum. For more information and to get registered, that is freestateproject.org/libertyforum. Now, Mark, you had shared with us that MySpace, one of the most popular
internet websites is going to be implementing a new technology to prevent sex offenders from getting access to MySpace.
Right.
And what's the technology? Well, they're going to analyze the names of the sex offenders when they allegedly register under their true name for MySpace.
Which they don't have to.
If they're foolish enough to do that.
They just type in a name.
Right. They could type in Mark Edge
right.
if they wanted to. And but
which is exactly what I did.
If the name happens to match a sex offender in one of these government sex offender registries...
God, I should hope not.
Then, in that case, they're going to...
eliminate the profile.
Just get rid of the profile. I presume they'll probably send him a message and say, stay away from our website, you bad, bad man.
Well, I think that that's jumping to a conclusion, though. There's probably a guy in some web... some sex offender system somewhere named John Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean they're going to eliminate
oh my gosh.
Every John Smith?
Because, yeah, I wonder about
I mean,
that.
It might be one thing if you're talking about Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah.
But not when you're talking about John Smith.
Well, right. They're going to have some MySpace employee going through each of these alerts. They're going to flag, essentially, these accounts for review so they can actually check to see if it is indeed the pervert John Smith or if it's a regular John Smith. But how long is that going to take? I mean, how much time is this guy going to be spending? I presume they can. Let's just presume this system's going to work fine, and it's going to ferret out the sex offenders. And I don't see why it would. I mean, it will highlight the people with the same names. The employee will go through and do his job and check and make sure mm-hmm. that they aren't real sex offenders. But just like with the sex offender database, parents should be very careful before they believe that this is going to keep their children safe. And we were pointing out some suggested tips for parents as to how they can really help their kids stay safe online, not just on MySpace, but meeting people online in general, anywhere, Facebook or through email or for instant messenger. But you have to remember, parents, that if the sex offender hasn't been caught, arrested, gone through the process, gone through the system, had his name entered into the sex offender registry, he's not going to get caught if he registers on MySpace. There could be 100,000 people on MySpace who are potential sex offenders, people who would just love to get their hands on a teenage boy or teenage girl, who just never have in the past. And they're going to use MySpace as their first opportunity to do so. So remember, if they're not in the sex offender database, the MySpace checking program has a 0% chance of discovering that they're a pervert. You see what I'm saying? So you have to do more than just rely on technology and rely on the good programmers and good people. And I'm sure they have good intentions. I'm sure they really mean the best with this program. But they're not going to keep your kids safe. Don't believe it for a second. Let's go to Gene, the Christian anarchist in Tennessee. You're on Free Talk Live with Ina Mark. Hello, Gene.
Well, I was going to start off with a quote from George Bush, but after I've read it over a few times, I don't think I can say it on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Is it offensive or what? Why?
Well, it's got the word God bleep in it, and I don't know if I can say that.
You can just say GD.
GD will be good.
Okay. The Constitution is just a GD piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah, we've heard about that. It's an alleged quote, but it certainly sounds believable.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to you guys with one ear, and with my other ear and both eyes, I'm watching my new Aaron Russo's film, Freedom to Fascism.
Ah, yes.
And it brings up my favorite conspiracy theory, which is the income tax and the Federal Reserve and all that. And I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, have you?
We actually saw it at the preview when they were taking it around the country.
Are you kidding? We're so important. They sent a limousine down to get us for the first viewing.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
No, you didn't. Okay.
We had to pay for our tickets just like everybody else.
No, we did go. We didn't pay for the tickets. It was free.
Okay.
But we did pay for the gas and the parking, which was like $7.
And we gave the folks from... No, it was,
yeah, we threw them a few bucks.
Yeah,
the We the People.
We the People, yeah.
Well, I met Aaron Russo back when I was in Nevada. He ran for governor there. And when he was in Reno one time, I went to his little get-together there. And he seems like a very interesting guy. I mean, he's been around Hollywood. He's obviously a colorful fella.
Mm-hmm.
But he does seem to have his facts straight on the income tax. Now, I've told you in the past, I've been fighting the IRS for 30 years. I started in 78, I think, was the last year that I filed a 1040 form.
Wow, 1978. And have they come after you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've had to fight them for 30 years.
Did you ever go to court?
I've never gone actually to court.
How have you fought them in 30 years?
Pardon?
What are some of the examples of how you fought them if you haven't gone to court?
Well, I've had to go to a couple of hearings at the IRS office, you know, where they try and determine when you're going to pay and all that kind of stuff. And I'd go there and I'd say, well, okay, show me the law. Of course, they don't want to hear that. And I'd ask them to show me their delegation orders. They won't do that. They'll just say, look, we're not here to talk about the Constitution.
What the heck is a delegation order?
Well, supposedly, if you have authority to do something, there should be some trail somewhere showing where that that authority came from, and that's
right.
called a delegation order.
I see.
Okay.
So if I say that I have the authority to come search your house, you have to say, well, where does the string of authority lead from? You know, where did it emanate from, and how did
conceivably,
it get down to you?
Conceivably, a cop that came to search your house would probably be able to show that, whereas you believe the IRS can't, right?
Yeah, a cop should be able to show you a search warrant, although they don't do that anymore either. But it's a similar thing to a search warrant. They're supposed to have a delegation order saying that they have power to do this. Of course, it doesn't exist. Neither does the law that says that you have to pay income tax.
But when you
say
that to an IRS agent, don't they just dismiss you as frivolous?
Yeah, of course. It's now considered frivolous to raise the Constitution of the United States as an argument in income tax.
Yeah.
Well, right, because the courts are behind them on this, and the judges will back them up and say, yeah, well, what are you talking about? Of course you have to pay income tax. Everybody pays income tax. So, I mean, how do you deal with that when you say, well, show me the law, and they say, well, that's frivolous. What comes next?
Well, the thing is, George Bush is right. He said the Constitution is just a GD piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely true. It's nothing but a worthless piece of paper with some ink on it. The only thing that gives teeth to any conceived concept such as law or justice or anything like that is people willing to fight for it. And the American people are not willing to fight for it. I've been dealing with this for 30 years.
The government bureaucrats are more than willing to fight for it.
I thought 30 years ago, man, the income tax has fallen. This thing cannot stand because it doesn't have a leg to stand on.
How did you end up leaving the office that day with the IRS agents?
Oh, they almost kicked me out of the office.
Why?
They wanted me to leave. In fact, they called an end to the hearing and said, okay, that's it. We're not talking anymore.
Why?
We're sick of you.
Why did they do that?
Because I was raising these issues. You know, where's the law? What's the basis for your authority?
Why do you think they didn't file charges against you? I mean, they've certainly railroaded plenty of other people that have asked similar questions, don't you think?
Well, they've gotten a lot of money from me. They've taken money from bank accounts and seized things.
I see. So they did. They did punish you, so to
speak. Oh, they've punished me for
gotcha.
My stand.
Gene, thanks for being so courageous. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. If only more people would do the same thing. They wouldn't be able to handle it. More's on the way. Should we invade Vietnam again? We'll find out.
Hey, Emily. Wow, you look great.
I feel great. I've been using MetaCleanse Colon Cleanse.
Really? What is it? How does it work?
Well, MetaCleanse is a natural fiber therapy with ground flaxseed, psyllium, and bentonite clay that eliminates toxins from the body. MetaCleanse is easy to use without being intrusive. You take 2 tablespoons of MetaCleanse powder, mix with water or juice, drink, and it does all the work for you.
That's it? Well, it sounds so easy and convenient.
It is easy. Plus, the FDA says flaxseed works to prevent cancer and helps with menopause, weight loss, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation.
It helps with all of those ailments? That's amazing.
And the bentonite clay and MetaCleanse eliminates viruses and pesticides in the intestinal tract.
Wow. Where can I buy MetaCleanse?
A 1-month supply is available online at MetaCleanse.com. That's MetaCleanse.com. For only $26.90, MetaCleanse is shipped directly to you. Or call 1-800-317-9547. That's 800-317-9547.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows, you name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helped. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot. No matter what the reason, you can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer.
Visit bedfan.com. That's bedfan.com. www.hitsahighnote.com.
Could you be the next high-tech millionaire? The inventor of Caller ID, the digital answering machine, and picture-in-picture has taken his newest, unique, cutting-edge inventions and removed them from corporate America, and is looking for people like you to market these products. Paul Zane Pilzer, the author of the book The Next Millionaires, that predicted the dot-com and the boom of the wellness industry, has now said there will be 10 million millionaires created between 2006 and 2016 in the technology industry. Those that work from home distributing technology products will have the first shot at success. This company has a successful 23-year track record and needs people like you who want to earn a considerable extra sum of money each month. Check out our solid, reputable company and learn how you can tap into this trillion-dollar industry. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Call today, 682-518-0096. That's 682-518-0096. Or visit the website 2006breakthrough.com. Again, that's 2006breakthrough.com.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line. That's 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You join us online at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the wiki, wiki.freetalklive.com. It's like the listener editable version of the freetalklive.com website. Over 850 pages created by listeners like you. wiki.freetalklive.com. Well, Mark, are we ready to invade Vietnam again? Isn't it about time? I mean,
it seems like a really bad idea to me.
It's been 30-something years. Isn't it about time we came back for round two? What do you think?
I think we should really avoid that.
Why?
Because fighting a land war... I don't want to fight a land war anywhere.
They're communists. We need to get rid of communism.
Why? Communism's taking care of itself.
Spread democracy.
Communism's taking care of itself. Democracy, if it's so great, should spread on its own.
Amidst all the comparisons of the Vietnam War, according to Jacob Hornberger from the Future of Freedom Foundation at LouRockwell.com, with the occupation of Iraq, people seem to be ignoring an important question. Why not invade Vietnam as well? After all, everyone knows that Vietnam is not a democracy. In fact, unlike Saddam Hussein's dictatorial regime in Iraq, the Vietnam dictatorship is communist. And U.S. officials reminded us throughout the Vietnam War that communists are committed to burying America. You think they just lost their commitment over the years, Mark? Moreover, let's not forget that the Vietnamese communists killed almost 60,000 American men. That is, many more Americans than Saddam ever killed, and in fact, 20 times the number of Americans killed on 9/11.
Now, they killed them fighting a war, you know.
Killed them nonetheless. Okay. Wouldn't an invasion of Vietnam not only spread democracy in that country, but also avenge the deaths of tens of thousands of American men?
Okay.
So why was President Bush recently visiting Vietnam and shaking hands with its communist dictators instead of leading a U.S. invasion force into Vietnam as his capacity as commander-in-chief? By shaking hands and even partying with the Vietnamese communist dictators, Bush was implicitly conceding that the issue of regime change in Vietnam properly lies with the Vietnamese people and not with the U.S. government. By his actions, he was saying that the U.S. government would have no more right to invade Vietnam and liberate the Vietnamese people than the Vietnamese government would have to invade the United States and liberate the American people. Regime change, whether through the ballot box or through violent revolution, properly lies with the citizenry of each particular country.
I would have to agree.
Not with foreign governments, especially since the price of such regime change
is oftentimes extraordinarily high in terms of death and destruction, as the people of Iraq have involuntarily discovered. And I would proffer the families of the soldiers who are dying in Iraq. All of these people have discovered this.
And I'm, you know, he mentions death, destruction, but at the same time, it's been, I think we're $600 billion into this thing, and what have I got to show for it?
Less money.
Yeah. Well,
less freedom.
Actually, they're probably not taxing. Taxes really haven't changed much since Bush came into office, which means, in fact, it's less money and less freedom for my grandchildren.
Bush's refusal to invade Vietnam isn't much different from how the U.S. presidents treated Eastern Europe during the Cold War. As miserable as the citizens of Eastern Europe were after U.S. officials delivered them into the clutches of the Soviet communists after the end of World War II, the issue of violent regime change properly lay with the Eastern Europeans, not with the U.S. government. They chose peaceful means, even though it took almost half a century to throw off the shackles of Soviet tyranny. Who's to say that Eastern Europeans would have been better off with a U.S. invasion that would have ended up killing hundreds of thousands of them and left Eastern Europe a wasteland? Now, why did Bush invade Iraq rather than to travel to Baghdad and shake hands with Saddam, as U.S. envoy Donald Rumsfeld did in the 1980s on behalf of the U.S. government, and as Bush himself recently did with the Vietnamese communist dictators? Well, the answer lies in a very simple fact. U.S. presidents use their standing army, which loyally and obediently follows presidential orders, to attack weak and relatively defenseless third world countries such as Panama, Grenada, Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and only when U.S. casualties are expected to be low. With Iraq, as with Vietnam, it's obvious that they just simply miscalculated a bit. As the Iraq debacle continues to spiral downward, sucking ever-growing numbers of people into its death throes, all too many Americans continue to judge the invasion and occupation of Iraq by how many U.S. troops have been killed. From a moral standpoint, Americans should also be asking themselves two important questions. Number one, under what moral or legal authority did the U.S. government invade Iraq, killing hundreds of thousands of people in the process?
You're going to have a tough time answering that question.
Well, somebody might be able to say, it was my authority. I wanted the war, so I gave them the authority to do it.
Okay.
But what about me?
Well,
did not give. I didn't actually do that. I was talking about somebody theoretically.
Yeah.
What about me? I don't want to go to war. Doesn't my authority to not go to war cancel out your authority to go to war? Do you get 2x the authority because you want to go to war? How does all this authorities transfer stuff work anyway?
Well, I would think that since they have the authority, for instance, I, at the time, thought it was a good idea to go into Iraq. So, I would have given my authority. But now I think it's a bad idea to be there. Can I take it back? Come on, let's come on back! So, apparently,
no refunds on authority.
What I say doesn't matter.
Right. It only matters if you agree.
I mean, yeah, well, yeah, like agreeing, you know, at the time it was a pretty popular invasion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not such a popular war now. And I don't know what all those people have changed their minds. I guess they're saying, Bush lied to us, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm taking the responsibility on myself. You know, I was unprincipled and thought that we could use violence to solve this problem.
And you were wrong.
Yep.
And you're very, very adult of you to admit that, Mark. Now, about this authority transfer idea, I guess there aren't any refunds. I mean, you'd think that you could just take your authority back, as you were suggesting, but apparently it doesn't work that way. For instance, you could claim, for instance, you could ask the question, how does the government get its authority in the first place? And according to the Founding Fathers, the consent of the governed is the major factor there, in that the governed, the people, are consenting to be governed, therefore they are transferring their authority that they each have over their own lives to the government. So they say, okay, I no longer want to have full authority over my own life, I'm giving you a portion of my authority, or all of my authority, so you can tell me what to do and tell me how to live my life. So that apparently is what some people would claim they've done in the whole social contract concept. But what if, as you say, you decide that you're done? You know what? I don't trust you with my authority anymore. I no longer want you to have control over my life, and I would like to have it back. There was never any sort of explicit transfer of anything in the first place. Nobody ever signed a social contract. There was never an agreement between the people and the government. There was just a formation of a government by a bunch of people who wanted to rule over others. And some of them wanted to keep the government in check, and to their credit, thank you for putting in the Bill of Rights and all of that. It certainly slowed down the process of big government. But no one ever consented to give up their authority. So hence, you can't really revoke any sort of written agreement to get it back. Now, can you?
Yeah.
And these bureaucrats and politicians are certainly not going to say, oh, you don't want to be under our rule anymore? Oh, okay. Well, you can just go and have your own little life. They're not going to give up their so-called authority. They don't actually have it. All they have is a belief that they have authority and guns to back up their belief system. That's all it is.
They have a very strong belief that they have authority. Like the belief is so strong that they're
willing to kill for it.
Right. They don't have any compunction. There's no problem at all with using their weapons to kill you if you question their authority.
Heck, if you just... Right. You don't even have to openly question. You can just not pull over for a police officer, and then they'll start to try to kill you.
They really will. I mean, if you just say, I'm not pulling over for the car behind me with the flashing blue and red lights.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just...
And the man wearing a costume.
In red lights.
Yeah.
And you can continue on your merry little way, and when you get to wherever it is that you're going, you'll probably have several cars behind you with flashing blue and red lights, and you'll have lots of men and women in costumes with their guns out, pointing them directly at you, screaming things at you.
Yep, trying to run you off the road and that sort of thing.
Yeah, they may very well. I'm just assuming you got to your place, safely, and at that point you... You know, can try to walk away to
where they're threatening you with bodily harm.
I don't think they'll be threatening at that point anymore. If you try to walk away, if you were going to Walmart, and for whatever reason the guy with the flashing blue and red lights tried to pull you over, and you just don't go, and you had a mile or two between here and there and the Walmart, you're going to have them probably throwing you to the pavement, putting handcuffs on you, shoving guns in the back of your head or in the small of your back. I mean, it's going to be a really, really violent experience.
Jacob's second and final question is, if the U.S. government invaded Iraq to spread freedom and democracy, as U.S. officials maintain, why is it cozying up to such totalitarian regimes as the communist dictatorship in Vietnam? 1-800-259-9231, if you've got an answer. 800-259-9231, the Packet 8 toll-free lines. Moments remain, still enough time for your call about whatever you want. That's why we call it Free Talk Live.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
It's America's number one selling brain support supplement, Focus Factor, and you can try it free. Focus Factor supports your memory, focus, and concentration with nutrients that support healthy brain function. And we've got a free bottle just for you, a $75 value. You simply provide $4.95 for shipping and handling, limit one per household. Call 1-800-407-6231. 1-800-407-6231. Come on, it's free Focus Factor. 1-800-407-6231.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
The show is Free Talk Live. Only moments remain in this, the Tuesday edition. You can still bring up whatever you want. Toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Enjoy all of the features there. They are completely free. There's a couple different ways that you can help support the show. If you like the fact that we give away our website features for free and you want to help Free Talk Live out, you can buy some Free Talk Live stuff at store.freetalklive.com. That, again, is store.freetalklive.com. We got Free Talk Live hats, a variety of them. Free Talk Live t-shirts.
I've got mine here.
It looks very good on you, Mark, I must say.
You know, there's not a hat that doesn't look good on me, Ian.
I haven't seen you without that for days in a row.
I love it. It's just the kind of hat that I like.
Have you gotten any compliments on it? Any questions? Any interest?
I haven't really. No one's really asked anything about it. I think the symbol's somewhat ambiguous. People are like, I don't know what that is. But maybe over time someone will ask.
Indeed.
But I don't get out much either.
They're very sharp-looking clothing. It's very high quality. This isn't cheapy crap that we're selling. Store.freetalklive.com. There's also DVD Classic Archives compilation sets. There's the Free Marketeer flag, which is now there. People are demanding more products with the Free Marketeer symbol, logo on it that Johnson created, which I think is great. We're working on that behind the scenes. We're also working on some new products, maybe a Free Talk Live hoodie for those of you in the colder climates. I know that's in high demand. Also,
I think everybody likes hoodies, right?
Our lady list, yes. It's a nice unisex product, but our lady listeners have been demanding the baby doll tee. So we're going to work on that as well. Hopefully those products will be available sometime in early 2007 at store.freetalklive.com. And we believe the credit card page on the AMP program is back online. So head over to amp.freetalklive.com. If you've been waiting for that to come back on, you don't want to use PayPal to AMP the show. The credit card form should be working, though. You may be our guinea pig to find out. amp.freetalklive.com. But it is secure, so you're all safe as far as your information and stuff is concerned. Let's go to the Liberator Online, the Advocates for Self-Government. James Harris in Good News, Bad News, Unbelievable News, the minimum wage hike. Some economic fallacies never die. They just go into hiding for a while, then suddenly come roaring back to plague us again. Take the minimum wage. The newly elected Democratic Congress has announced that one of its top priorities is to dramatically increase the federal minimum wage.
That'll help everybody.
Prominent Republicans, including the president, agree.
Might as well.
It's a wretched idea, however. An increase in the minimum wage will inevitably cause harm to huge numbers of the very low-income workers it's supposed to help. It will destroy many entry-level jobs, cause significant unemployment and poverty, and have many other negative effects. Now, do you think that they're just making these claims up? Just to be mean towards those people that are getting the minimum wage? To scare people?
I think that mostly it just doesn't matter. The minimum wage just doesn't matter. Not that it's terrible,
that
it's bad.
Oh, it does. It does all the things that they just mentioned. Economists have proven it.
Give me the list again.
Okay. It will hurt the very low-income workers it's supposed to help by destroying entry-level jobs causing significant unemployment and poverty, and many other negative effects. In fact,
I think it probably does destroy a certain amount of entry-level jobs for a period of time, and then they come back. Because basically the market levels itself out once they raise the minimum wage. The market just goes and figures it all out again, and then essentially the amount of money that they were getting paid previously becomes the amount of money that they're getting paid now in real dollars, and it doesn't matter.
I don't know about that, Mark. I'm not an economist, but the economists think it's a bad idea because it does destroy those jobs. Maybe some of them come back, but I think overall it probably has a negative effect on the unemployment numbers in the United States.
I can't think that it's particularly good.
It used to be common wisdom, in fact. Indeed, a 1978 survey taken by the American Economic Review found that fully 90% of economists at that time agreed or partly agreed with the statement, quote, a minimum wage increases unemployment among young and unskilled workers. In 1987, even the liberal New York Times called for the total abolition of the minimum wage, declaring, quote, there's a virtual consensus among economists that the minimum wage is an idea whose time has passed. Raising the minimum wage by a substantial amount would price working poor people out of the job market. Now, while you're probably correct in that some jobs are gained back over time just simply because the market scales back up, the economy sort of scales back up, mm-hmm. The fact is still that there are always going to be workers that aren't worth the minimum wage. And even if the minimum wage is $20 an hour, there are going to be workers that at that time you're only going to be willing to pay 10 to.
I would agree that there certainly
are people. The higher that number goes, the more people are going to be left out in the cold. Maybe it'll only be a percentage here or a percentage there, but over time it will add up.
I don't think that it adds up, though. I think that it scales back.
Well, I hope somebody with more economic knowledge than you or I can really clue us in here. So the New York Times advocated the abolishment. However, the minimum wage fallacy was snatched from the graveyard of dead political ideas in the 1990s by two highly controversial studies that claimed to find little or no job displacement from the minimum wage. Those studies relied on, quote, fantastically faulty methodology, according to a new study by the nonprofit Employment Policies Institute. But it was enough to revive the idea politically. Hoover Institution economist David Henderson, an expert on the minimum wage, recently summed up the fundamental arguments against it in the Wall Street Journal. In raising the minimum wage, the government doesn't guarantee jobs. It guarantees only that those who get jobs will be paid at least that minimum. But precisely by requiring this, the government destroys jobs. Someone to whom an employer was willing to pay only the current minimum wage of $5.15 might not produce enough to be worth paying, say, $7.25.
It may very well. I mean, the money has to come from somewhere.
Raising the minimum wage, Henderson says, quote, will help only a subset of the people that it's thought to help, and will help them only a little, while hurting a lot of them, or some of them, rather, a lot. According to Henderson, the proposed increase from $5.15 to $7.25, a 40% increase, could mean the loss of up to 1.6 million jobs. Mm-hmm. Now, even if they do all come back, per your theory, Mark, it still hurts those people right then.
Sure.
And that's no good.
I get it.
Especially entry-level jobs that allow young people to gain valuable work skills that let them move on to better-paying jobs. Recent history bears this out. The 1997 National Bureau of Economic Research study estimated that the federal minimum wage hike of 1996 and 1997 actually increased the number of poor families in America by 4.5%. Other studies indicate that employers faced with having to pay more for labor cut back benefits, such as health insurance or on-the-job training.
Sure, and, you know, the people that are pushing the minimum wage, they aren't poor people that want to get another dollar in their paycheck. They are unions that have all kind of political clout and union workers that get paid based on a multiple of
the
minimum
wage. So they get a raise, too.
They get a raise by $4 or $5 because for every dollar the minimum wage gets raised.
That's pretty despicable.
It is, absolutely.
And I don't think most minimum wage workers know that.
No, and the union workers could care less how many minimum wage workers are out on the street because they got a raise. Why should they care, really?
The other studies indicate that other employers cut back on hours, force employees to work harder, replace workers with automation, or simply eliminate jobs altogether. How about outsourcing, huh, Mark?
Yeah.
Send the job somewhere else. Is there a better way to help low-wage workers without harming so many of them? Well, yes, says Jim Cox, author of the booklet Minimum Wage Maximum Damage, published by The Advocates. De-tax them. The working poor are hit with taxes everywhere they turn, including taxes on essentials like food, clothing, housing, and transportation. They must also pay Social Security and Medicare taxes. And don't forget, when poor people are paying rent, they're paying property taxes. For instance, I've got a duplex here in the city we live in, Keene, New Hampshire, that the property taxes here are $6,000 a year. Now, that translates to $500 a month,
right,
that I have to pay out in property taxes. My rent that I charge next door in this duplex is $950 a month.
I bet it'd be a lot cheaper if you didn't have to pay $500 a month in taxes.
Right. Even if I wasn't living here, if I had both of the units rented out, then I could reduce the rent by $150 to $250 a month for both sides, both mm-hmm. units. And that's, you know, $250 a month for a poor family? That buys a lot of food.
Yeah.
That'll pay for your kids to go to a private school, or at least certainly pay them to have them homeschooled. Anyway, so you've got to reduce the burden on the poor in the form of taxes. They also, of course, pay Social Security and Medicare taxes. Free these workers from this government-imposed burden. Let them keep the full wages that they earn. This would benefit them far more than the minimum wage, without the minimum wage's disastrous effects. That from the Advocates for Self-Government, their excellent website, theadvocates.org. I highly recommend subscribing to this little newsletter. It's called The Liberator Online. They've got over 68,000 subscribers in over 100 countries worldwide.
Wow.
It's one of the most, I think it's probably the most, yeah, they claim it, the world's largest circulation libertarian publication.
Hmm.
And it's free, of course. Theadvocates.org. In fact, The Advocate's Sharon Harris is going to be speaking at the upcoming Liberty Forum in February. Here in Concord, New Hampshire, which we're going to be attending. We're going to be broadcasting live from the New Hampshire Liberty Forum. So you get to meet Sharon, which is cool, and a lot of other interesting people.
So why aren't we hooked up with the Liberator Online? What do you mean?
How come our ads aren't showing up in
that particular publication?
I don't know. We've got a limited ad budget, my man.
Oh, I'm not going to pay for it.
Okay.
Just get it in there. Get something in there.
We've gotten an advertisement in there before. We've had them on the show. They promoted it. So that's the way to get it. Have them back on. 802. Hey, we're done. It's been Ian here.
Yeah,
with you.
And Mark.
All right. See you online between now and tomorrow night's show on our website at freetalklive.com. Have a great night. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, Ted.